Well, Ron said we're going to have to meet sometime and decide what kind of music we wanted and that kind of stuff. And all I'm going to tell you, Ron, is this. If you don't cut it out, the Babacostal in me is going to come out now. Now, I'm telling you, I'm sorry, I can't sit still when I'm singing about the Lord and hearing that. And listen, y'all going to think that your pastor is either gone crazy or got a hormone imbalance or something. But I'm telling you, that was good. And so we are so thankful to be here. I just can't tell you how much that Leanne and I are so thankful that you've called us here. And I tell you what, it's just one of those things when, you know, you just know that that's what the Lord had for you. It's not, like I said, I enjoyed where we were before and thought I would be there the rest of my life, but God had other plans. I didn't know what, didn't know where, but I knew one thing: if I wasn't obedient to what He was telling me to do, then it wasn't going to work out for anybody. So, you know, it's just a pleasure to begin our ministry here today. It's just, and you know, talking about the air going out and no water. Well, I'm preaching half blind this morning, so seriously, I got up Friday morning and had something going on with this left eye, and so got in touch. You know, by the way, there are no doctor's offices open on Friday after 4th of July. I'm going to tell you that. But thankfully, I called in a favor to an old hunting buddy of mine, and he called me back, and he prescribed me some stuff. He's my eye doctor, and so at least I can halfway see this morning anyway. But it's kind of, so if I read something wrong, don't pay any attention to him. Just know that I'm reading half blind, and been able to overcome a lot in my life. But there's something that we just understand that God has a plan in everything, and good to see some people here that I invited to come this week, and some that I didn't invite, and I'm glad to see them come, and just really blessed from some friends of ours that are here, and in particular my first cousin Martha. Now Martha, you probably never come back, but I've got to tell this. But we grew up over in Glen Addie. I know some of y'all know where that is. And a gentleman talked to me about he had spent some time over there. And you know, it was a tough neighborhood. You had to fight both ways if you walked through the park down there. And it's just one of those situations that the Lord got us through it. But you know, Martha, one day, she doesn't look it, but she's 2 or 3 years older than me, not much. But I got mad at her one day. She took a truck or something away from me when we was out playing. So I come up with a bright idea. We got some boxing gloves. Let's just settle this. Now, this is a true story. And so we strapped the boxing gloves on, and we stepped into our make-believe ring. Next thing I remember, they were hovering over me, working on my bloody nose. So, Martha, it's so good to see you here this morning. But anyway, well, enough of that. You be turning to Luke chapter 17 this morning. As I was thinking about my first sermon was going to be here, and as pastoring, it was after the 4th of July, and so it was real easy. I mean, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to preach a message, and I'm just going to talk about, you know, can America come back to God, and talk about all the issues that are going on in today's society and all these things. And as I was studying, preparing for that, but I kept coming back to one thing. And that's just simply that, yeah, we're celebrating the Declaration of Independence, and when thankfully those 13 colonies and those congressmen met in secret and declared that we were no longer going to be under the rule of Britain and no longer be under the monarchy of Britain, and we were going to do our thing, no longer going to be subjected to that, and many, many people from that point on have fought and died for that freedom. And as I began to think about all that, it just kept coming back to one thing. Listen, the only way we will ever have freedom is if we experience true freedom. And so that led me to Luke chapter 17. And if you're there, if you would please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse 11. And it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save or except this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, God, for allowing us to experience true freedom. Lord, the only way that we can truly experience freedom is the freedom that only you offer us. And God, I pray right now that not one person here will leave this place today, God, without knowing that they have experienced the freedom that only you can give us, Lord. You just bless everything that's said now in your name, and we're going to give you praise for it in your name. Amen. Amen. You know, anytime you look in the Bible and you study about leprosy or a leper, it's always a picture of sin. Now, you know, what we know from studying this disease is that basically it manifests itself in 3 different ways to the person that contracted leprosy. One, well, they would have sores all over their bodies and their flesh would soon rot away. And that was a visible sickness. Just like sin, many of our sins are plainly visible to other people. You know that the sins are visible. But then the second type of leprosy that we study about found that it affects the nervous system so that you can no longer feel. You have no feelings in your hands. That's why many of them burned. That's why many of them would burn themselves and burn the flesh off when they were trying and scrape the sore because there were no feelings in those nerve endings. And that's another thing that I've discovered is that's what sin tends to do sometimes. Is that we sin so much that pretty soon there's just no feeling there. And then the third way that leprosy would manifest itself in the person would be in interior tumors, little nodules that would show up within the body. You couldn't see them. Somebody walking by couldn't see them. But you knew that they're on the inside. You could feel them, you could hurt them. You see, a lot of people think that sin is hidden, yet it's never hidden from God. And so anytime we see something in the Bible about leprosy, then it's always this picture of sin. And so as we read the Scripture this morning, the first thing that I believe that we must do in order to experience true freedom is you've got to get up. Now look at this. In verse 11, it says, "And there came to pass, as he passed through Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood far apart." Now, your Sunday school lesson this morning was about another Samaritan. And hopefully you talked about in Sunday school about what it meant to be a Samaritan. But basically, the Jews would have nothing to do with them. Jews didn't want any part of a Samaritan. And so if you were a leper and a Samaritan, you were really an outcast. But anyway, so all these people, the first thing we see is that we don't want to miss the Master. Listen, they all cried out to Jesus. Now, what has been my experience before is this. Many people will cry out to Jesus in a time of need, in a time of hurt, in a time of crisis, and then when that crisis is over, they go right on their merry little way. You see, we call that a temporary faith. But there's a lot of people. I mean, yes, you know, the old saying, what person on an airplane going down wouldn't pray, "Lord, save me"? But if somehow it miraculously landed, then they say thank you and then go on about their own life. Well, see, there were 10 people. They all cried out for Jesus. Don't miss the Master. Don't miss the Master. Listen, what was their problem? Their problem, they lived a life of rejection. Can you imagine walking down the streets having to holler out, "Unclean, unclean," and people go away from you? "I'm unclean," but listen, that's really, without Christ, that's what we are. We are unclean. You see, we're without Christ, we cannot even be in the presence of the Lord. And the only reason we can meet Him one day when we go to heaven is because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. It's because Jesus made us righteous enough to meet Him. So the lost person figuratively speaking, we cry, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." You see, the disease was so bad that their clothes had to be burned. I mean, that's why they ran around naked for the most part and kept together in colonies, is because the disease was so bad and it was so contagious and it would spread that they would burn their clothes trying to do away with the disease. Look at their place. They lived a life of separation. Can you imagine living a life separated from your family? Can you imagine living a life separated from your friends? But more importantly, can you imagine a life separated from God? You see, that's what sin does in our lives. To the lost person, we live separated from God. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't, they won't even admit to that. But you see, we're not free of those sins. We're not free of that disease till we know Christ personally. You know, it's something Brother Roy was talking about in Sunday school about how the Samaritans wouldn't even walk. They'd go miles around to keep from having to go through the same town. A Jew would, to keep from having to go through the same town where Samaritans were. But you know, there's something interesting in a colony of lepers. Both Jews and Samaritans lived together in these colonies of lepers. Now, you understand the significance of that? We're all just sinners. We're all in the same place without Christ. We're all in that same colony. And so we see that, and that's where they are. And so don't miss the Master when He calls, but more than that, don't miss the mercy. You see, Jesus offered a mercy. They said, "Master, please have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." See, Jesus offered mercy and grace to all of them. Now, I was thinking about this, and some of you may know, but I was in law enforcement for about 12 or 13 years, and that, for some reason, that was my desire. I wanted to do straight out of college, or while I was in college. Man, I want to be in law enforcement. It's a great profession. But I went to work at the Calhoun County Sheriff's Department in my early 20s, just recently married and trying to support a family and do all that. But at the Calhoun County Sheriff's Office back then, you had to begin as a jailer. Now, thankfully, I was only in jail. My pastor said he'd been in jail. I was only in jail for about 7 or 8 months before I made it out on the road. And so as a new jailer, and back then, now listen, we're in the old jail. If any of you, I'm not asking if any of you ever been in there, but if you know what I'm talking about, in the old courthouse, so therefore they remodeled it. Well, listen, we had 4 total jailers, one for first shift, one for second shift, one for third shift, and a supervisor. That's all. And there were 200 or 300 inmates in the jail. And so when court was going on, what would happen is that they would, you would get a, we called it a buzz, you know, the intercom system, that buzz from the court and say, send so-and-so over. Put them on the catwalk. Well, what that meant was you're going to put an inmate on the elevator, take him up to the second floor, go across the catwalk, and on the other side there would be a deputy to take him into court. Well, I was day shift, and it was busy, and we were going crazy. So I get the buzz. Hey, bring so-and-so over to the catwalk. Well, so-and-so just happened to be a guy that had shot a police officer in a robbery. Was wanted in 10 places. Probably the biggest outlaw that I'd ever come across. So I go get him. I take him up to the second floor. I open the door to the jail, put him on the catwalk, and I said, there'll be a deputy waiting on the other side. Got back on the elevator, went back downstairs, and it hit me. I didn't see a deputy on the other side of that elevator. Wait a minute. So I fly back up. I'm running around. His first name was Bobby. Bobby was nowhere to be seen. I thought, oh, Lord. I went and I peeped in the courtroom. He wasn't in the courtroom. I said, okay. Now I'm feeling real good. So down the steps I go running. I see Bobby in the lobby doing this number. He sees me. See, Bobby had his moment of freedom. Then he saw me. He comes back over. I didn't see a deputy. I said, yeah, I didn't either. He said, I know what you're trying to do. He said, you got 4 deputies outside that door, rifles trained on. He said, if I'd have stepped out that door, I'd be a dead man. I know what you're trying to do. I said, yeah, and don't you forget it. He had his moment of freedom, but it wasn't real freedom. You see, all these lepers had their opportunity for freedom. They had their opportunity for freedom. But you see, you got to not only get up, you got to get out. You see, in verse 14, it says, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that they went, and they were cleansed. You see, don't miss the miracle. Jesus wanted them to see the real miracle. Folks, the miracle wasn't cleansing them of the leprosy. But say there were 9 of those guys, they thought that was the miracle. They thought, that's, man, everything has happened now. You see, they all obeyed the word of God. What that tells me is they all went through the motions. They all went down and saw the priest. The priest cleansed them, and they all walked out with no leprosy. See, I think that's what a lot of people do when we have, we call it temporary faith or temporal faith, but that's not saving faith. I'll tell you another kind of faith that's not saving faith, and that's just knowing who Jesus is. The Bible says even Satan himself knows who Jesus is. Satan himself even believes that Jesus is the Savior. Satan believes that, but listen, you're not going to see Satan in heaven. Why? Because he has that head knowledge, but he doesn't have that heart knowledge. You see, there were 9 of these guys. They had the temporary faith to go do what it took. Then they had the head knowledge to know, well, this man can do it. But we know by their actions they missed the miracle. You see, they obeyed the word of Christ. and they all observed the work of Christ. They all saw the healing power of Christ. One of the most frustrating things in my ministry sometimes is when I see people. They see what God has done to a family member. They see how God has turned that family member around. They see how God has blessed that person. They see how God has changed that person. They've observed it. But then when it comes right down to it, I don't want that. No, not yet. I'm not ready. See, there were nine of these guys. They obviously knew who Jesus was. You know, Jesus had healed a leper just prior to this. And I'm sure they had heard the story of Naaman. You know, if you're not familiar with that, I'm going to read it all, but it's in 2 Kings chapter 5. But you need to read that account of Naaman, because see, Naaman was a guy who had leprosy. He came to a point in his life when he sought help from the prophet Elisha. And what happened was Elisha told him, go down to the Jordan River and dip himself. And when you come out, Elisha actually sent word, didn't even tell him personally. But you see, Naaman was so full of pride. He basically said, how dare he send somebody to tell me that? And not only that, we've got all these other nice rivers. Why can't I just be dipped in those rivers and be healed? You see, Lord Jesus has one plan of salvation. There's a lot of people that try to turn that into 10 or 20 or 50. But I'm telling you, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes before the Father but by me. There's a lot of people that try to come before him in a lot of different ways. But listen, folks, it's not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy when they die. Because there's only that one way. And so don't miss the miracle. So not only do you have to get up, and not only do you have to get out, but you've got to get back. You see, when the problem was fixed, when the crisis was over, all of them but one went on their merry way. Were all 10 of them cleansed from leprosy? Absolutely. Did all 10 of them receive the miracle of salvation? Absolutely not. Jesus goes on and says, don't miss the moment. First of all, in verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And guess what? The Bible says he was a Samaritan. Listen, there's nothing in the Bible that's just put in there haphazardly, I don't believe. I believe it's the Word of God, the inerrant Word of God. I believe it's the divine inspiration of God. And so nothing is put in there for no particular reason. God wanted us to know that this was a Samaritan, just like the woman at the well. This was a Samaritan that Jesus himself had encountered. The lesson to that is, listen, I hear a lot of stuff on news today and all this stuff about, you know, this is racist and that is racist and all this racist stuff. But let me tell you something. Some of it's probably true and probably some of it's not. But what I'm going to tell you is, there's not a racist bone in the Lord Jesus Christ's body. And that is our example. It's not Fox News or CNN News or MSNBC News. It's not some politician spouting off stuff. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that makes us free, and it's because he's made us free that he pointed out, and he was a Samaritan. The lesson for us to learn is, listen, when we go knocking on those doors, and we're going to do that very soon, and when we have those people walk through these doors, we should not turn our nose up at someone because they're not like us, because that's not the people that Jesus went after. He went after the people that wasn't like him. He went after the ones that he knew were going to die and bust hell wide open unless somebody reached them. That's what's got to happen in this community. That's what's got to happen in this church. That's what's got to happen in this world. And then, and only then, will we experience true freedom. You see, this one Samaritan, he went back to Jesus. And what did he do? We see, first of all, his glorification to God. It says that he glorified God with a loud voice. Listen, folks, this time we had a loud voice and we glorified God. It's impossible. It should be impossible for us to contain our excitement when we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. When we understand the true freedom that he has given us, it ought to make us shout. It didn't say the Samaritan went back and said, "I'm so thankful. Praise God. I'm over with that leprosy now. I wonder what's going to hit me next." No, he said, with a loud voice, he glorified God. And not only that, we see that he showed his gratitude because he fell on his face and thanked God. That he wanted people to know that, listen, Jesus saved him. If you're here this morning, Jesus saved you, you've got something to shout about. You've got something to be thankful about. Listen, we all have problems. I mean, every one of us. I told Leanne the other morning, I said, "Man, it stinks getting old." I mean, is anybody, at least I can get an amen off of that, surely. It stinks getting old. But I want to tell you something. What brings me to life is when I realize what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. See, Leanne challenged me the other morning. She said, "You would think an eye wouldn't get you down, a sore eye, but it did." You know, and I'm moping around there, and she said, "Hold your shoulders back." She said, "Kick them legs up." She didn't think I could do it. I went, "Okay, now what you want me to do?" And I go through the house like that. I said, "I'm ready to go now. Let's go." You see, that's the way we ought to do. I won't be able to move for 3 weeks. I'll be getting up in the morning with my shoulders back down. But you see, we ought to thank God and be thankful that we're alive and be thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. So we see the thankfulness of one, but then we see the thankfulness of none. Nine were not found. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found, they that return to give glory to God, except this one Samaritan." You see, 9 were not found. Once again, the crisis is over. They went on their merry little way. And there were also 9 were not faithful. You see, there was no faith involved. They didn't experience saving faith. You see, what they experienced was what unfortunately many people today experience. That's an encounter, but not a salvation. You see, we have temporary faith that Jesus will get us through a crisis. And then we have that head knowledge that we know who he is. But we don't have that saving faith. See, what the one leper had was saving faith. He understood there was only one way to heaven. He understood that the only way to truly be saved is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and only the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, I get so sick of a lot of even what's coming out of a lot of our theological seminaries, trying to make the gospel into something that it's not, trying to put conditions on it, trying to say this, trying to say that. And you know, that's not a thing in the world, but Satan trying to trick people. See, if he can trick you into thinking you're okay, you know, deep down in your heart, yeah, you might have knelt and prayed one day when you was going through a tough time in your life, and you got up and nothing changed in your life. You went right on living the same life you've always lived. Nothing changed, you see. And sometimes I see people even change the visible sins, the sores, but the invisible sins never change. They never agree with God that that's wrong. They never truly trust Christ and Christ alone for eternal life. So there were nine that weren't faithful, but we see lastly the transformation of that one. Jesus said him himself, he said, "And I said unto him, Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." See, that's why it takes faith, saving faith, to go to heaven. There's only one of those ten people that experienced that saving faith. And we don't know much about him afterwards. But my Lord Jesus Christ doesn't lie. He said, "Arise, thy faith has made you whole." There's no reason in the world for me to doubt that that man didn't walk away saved that day. You see, it was because of his faith. Jesus said it. And then what did he experience? He experienced true freedom. You know, y'all heard me say the last time, I think, but the secret to a better world doesn't lie in the White House. It lies in God's house. It begins with God's people. It begins with God's people, first of all, saying, "You know what, God, I agree with you on sin. I agree with everything. And I agree with you that I must trust you and you only for eternal life. And I agree with you that it takes my faith and your grace to get me to heaven." See, Jesus offered 10 people a chance to experience true faith and true freedom. You see, the one man, he had his freedom from the penalty of sin. The Bible said the wage of sin is death. Listen, folks, there's not but one person that can pay that penalty for you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.